Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Today, we need to wrap up our discussion of the Christian Sabbath as it comes up in our exposition of Colossians 2:16 and 17. We have spent a good many days on it now, and for some of you that may have been too many, may have been too tedious, and yet it is such a, hotly contested subject, and it divides God's people pretty sharply in some areas. I do think it needs to be examined as carefully and as honestly and as graciously as we possibly can. So that's what we have been endeavoring to do. The text in question is Colossians 2:16. So then let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. If the word Sabbaths in verse 16 refers to the weekly Sabbath, then what Paul says is pretty clear, and it's pretty, pretty damning, pretty contrary to those who mandate a Christian Sabbath on the first day of the week, because Paul says, don't let anybody judge you regarding that, regarding these things. And if Sabbaths, the weekly Sabbaths, included in that list, then if nobody is to judge anybody else regarding it, you can't put it in the same category as thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, areas where Christians not only can judge other believers, but must, if they're going to be true to the Word of God. Churches are going to have to confront and stop such practices among members of the church, but when it comes to Sabbath breaking, then that seems to fly in the face. If you judge regarding that and apply penalties regarding that, that seems to fly in the face of what we read here in Colossians 2:16. So the only way you can, it seems to me, the only way you can mandate the first day of the week as a Christian Sabbath is to say that Colossians 2:16 does not refer to the weekly Sabbath, and as we've already pointed out, that's a pretty weak interpretation in light of the fact that the other things that you would like to say that word Sabbath refers to here are already spelled out in the text. So it's not likely that Paul is repeating himself when he says, don't let anybody judge you in regard to a festival, that's a Jewish feast days, that could be called Sabbath, or a new moon, also a Jewish religious festival, that could be called a Sabbath, but he spells those out regarding festival, or new moon, or Sabbaths. And in putting it that way, it seems to me that he is saying, don't let anybody judge you in regard to the annual feast days, don't let anybody judge you in regard to the monthly feast day, which is the new moon, don't let anybody judge you in regard to the weekly Sabbath. It seems to me like that's what that is saying. But if that is what it is saying, then you've got a problem with a Christian Sabbath viewpoint. So let's wrap it all up on the broadcast today. Thank you for joining me on this Friday, July 22. And many thanks for those who help us financially keep this broadcast on the air. Well, I want to come to a conclusion. I told you on the broadcast yesterday that our church has adopted two statements of faith, two confessions of faith. One of them is the official one, and one of them is an auxiliary one. And the official one we subscribe to completely, and the auxiliary one we subscribe to substantially. But they have basically contradicting viewpoints in regard to the issue of a Christian Sabbath. The auxiliary statement, as I read it on the broadcast yesterday, which is the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, the London Baptist Confession of Faith, says very clearly that the Lord's Day is a continuation of the Seventh-day Sabbath. Only the day has been changed. But other than that, it's the same thing and needs to be understood as being the same. But that seems to me, back to Colossians 2:16, which is the text we're looking at and the reason why this whole discussion came up, seems to me like that's a violation of what this text teaches. So we have adopted instead this statement on the Lord's Day, which is not a statement that just says you can do anything you want to do on the Lord's Day. Here's what it says, and I read it again. We believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day, the day appointed for the regular assemblies of the church. We believe that Christians should meet with the church on the Lord's Day for public worship, fellowship, instruction, and observance of the ordinances, and that it should be utilized to cultivate personal spiritual growth and as a testimony before the world. That much we're willing to say. Beyond that, we're not willing to say anymore because we're not sure that we're on solid biblical grounds to do so. And when we start mandating how the Lord's Day must be kept and start getting into details of what you may or may not do, then we believe we are on shaky grounds, because then we are doing what it seems to me Colossians 2:16 tells us not to do. So let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. So let me wrap it up by trying to explain, by way of summary, what my conclusion about this is. I remind you that godly Christians differ about this question. And there's no question in my mind that some of the godliest Christians in all the world take the opposite position from the one that I have explained and defended on the Beacon broadcast. And I know that. And therefore, I would urge you to respect those who differ and regard them as sincere brothers in Christ. It's unfortunate, in my mind, that these differences have created, in many cases, sharp divisions that really ought not to exist. We ought to be able to say, that's this brother's conviction. I don't agree with it. I don't support it. But I don't argue over it. I don't fight over it. I don't debate over it. I don't separate over it. I don't think we should. And therefore, I think we should avoid offending the consciences of others wherever possible. When we know that we are around people who do believe that the Lord's Day is the weekly Sabbath and should be understood with the same force as the Seventh-day Sabbath from the Old Testament, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and we're around people who sincerely believe that, we should not offend their conscience. We should not do things in their presence that are going to be offensive and hurtful to them. We really shouldn't. We should respect their convictions. And we should recognize that in actual practice, those who hold to the Lord's Day as not being a Christian Sabbath, and those who hold that the Lord's Day is a Christian Sabbath, in actual practice, there are often less differences than there is in doctrinal position. In other words, those two doctrinal positions are not the same. One says the Lord's Day is the Sabbath. The other one says the Lord's Day is not the Sabbath. Those are two different positions. But I have observed, and this is just by way of observation, that many times those who take these different positions actually live their lives on the Lord's Day in a very similar fashion. Not in every case is that true. Some Sabbatarians are very strict Sabbatarians. Others are not so strict. And those who are not so strict but who honor the Lord on the Lord's Day, and those who believe that the Lord's Day is not the Sabbath but still believe it is the Lord's Day and the Lord is to be honored and the assembly of the saints is to be attended, usually end up doing a lot of pretty much the same activities, living their lives pretty much the same way, even though their doctrinal position differs. But what we need to do is humbly resist those who require extra biblical requirements. And if it is our conviction that weekly Sabbaths are in view in Colossians 2:16, then we need to gently push back on others, because it says, let no one judge you. So if someone else has this strong Christian Sabbath position, he's free to practice it for himself, and I will respect that, and I will try not to knowingly offend him regarding it when I'm in his presence, but I'm not to submit myself to his conviction if it's not my own. And if he tries to put me under his conviction in regard to what he believes and it's not what I believe, then I need to gently push back and say, I don't believe that's what the Scripture teaches. But what I believe the Scriptures teach is, and I've already said it, but I'm going to summarize it again now. Number one, that New Testament believers assembled for public worship on the first day of the week. I believe, secondly, that this day became known as the Lord's Day. That's what I'm confident that Revelation 1:10 is referring to when it talks about the Lord's Day, and that's the only place in Scripture that the Lord's Day is mentioned. It is known as the Lord's Day, and it sets one day apart from other days of the week and helps us give attention to eternal issues. I believe, number three, that regular assembly of the saints is a requirement for Christians, according to Hebrews 10:24 and 25. Church attendance, to put it in modern vernacular, is not an option. It is a requirement. We should assemble as regularly as we are able. We should avoid purposefully scheduling conflicting activities, which would cause us to forsake the assembly of the saints. We should work only as required, not volunteering to work, but only as required, and sometimes it is required, and God knows. And I think we should be prudent with other activities. But we have to be careful always of adding to or subtracting from God's Word. We don't want to be guilty of either. And we also need to recognize the danger of treating godly Christian brothers harshly because our views differ. We need to understand the significance of the Sabbath type, what it was a type of. The rest that believers have in Christ. A rest from wearisome labors endeavoring to earn salvation. A soul rest in the finished work of Christ. Jesus, I am resting in the joys of what thou art. And for some of us at least, we believe that the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, was fulfilled in Christ when he died on the cross and rose again from the dead, and when we put our faith and trust in him. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.